Well, good morning. Sorry, I'm a little teary-eyed. That is my dad's favorite song. And I was sitting there minding my own business, and all of a sudden it kind of took me, you know. I was gifted with a father that believed in telling the next generation. And so, guys, I hope you'll be that kind of father. Okay, guys, I hope you'll be that kind of father. Tell the next generation. Build it into your kids by loving your kids. Make them cry someday after you're gone. That's kind of the goal and all of that. So, one other thing, just to note, we have switched where our children and teens are. That's why our children were going this way. So we're going to have to ask you if you would use the bathroom down this direction, because we want to close that off so that it's only children and people that have been approved to be in our children's wing, because we want to create a safe space for our children. Amen. So we don't want the public going, you know, all down there, because we never want anything to happen. And the best way to do that is to just make that a place where only the folks that have been pre-approved, the teachers and those sorts of things. And we have perfectly fine bathrooms over here. So I encourage you, if you go that direction and all of that. So we are kicking off a new sermon series called Diving Deep. It's all about getting past the spiritual surface in life. How many of you have ever been on a boat in the ocean? I mean, you know, out there with the big waves and all of that. Yeah, I grew up in Grays Harbor, if you know where that is. I spent a lot of time out on the ocean, went out of Westport a lot, and loved it. I love being on the ocean, and it was particularly fun. I would go sometimes with the charter boat captains, because the locals knew how to deckhand, and watching the tourists upchuck through the whole thing, and that was great fun, making fun of them. But I loved it, and because there's so many interesting things on the ocean, and I just remember seeing really cool things. How many of you have ever seen whales out on the ocean, ever, yeah, on purpose or accident or all that? Yeah, I saw whales, caught fish, you know. The biggest fish I ever caught was 32 pounds of salmon. Anybody bigger than that? Got bigger than that? How big? Oh, wow, that would like make me feel like an underachiever. 150 pounds. Marlin? A yellow, wow, that's a lot of fish. Cool stuff out there when you see that thing, you know, the whales and the fish. And then there's all kinds of interesting things underneath the water. And so we kind of get those little versions, those little quick snippets on the surface of the fact that there's something more underneath the ocean. And as interesting as the surface is, what's under the ocean is really, really interesting. Maybe you see the National Geographic where they explore the ocean kind of thing, and you see, yeah, there's all this wonderful sort of stuff. And so that's kind of what we're talking about here in our spirituality. It's really easy to kind of stay on the surface because there's lots of interesting things on the surface. But if you really want to know the ocean, you got to go deep. And if you really want to know God, you got to go deep. And so we're going to be talking through October about diving deep, getting past the spiritual surface in our lives. And we're talking about the spiritual kind of thing. And spiritual is a word that people use a lot today. Not just people in Christian circles, but people use it all over the place that are not Christians at all. They'll use the word spiritual. But my difficulty is I hear them use that word, but they don't ever really quite define the word spiritual. Never sure what they mean. So we're going to start with a little pop quiz. When I say the word spiritual or spirituality, what does that mean to you? Yeah, exactly. That has been the response in all of the surface. It's like, well, I don't really know. I don't have a definition. It's just kind of out there, you know? And so we kind of need to start with an understanding of spirituality. And if you go outside the Church of Jesus Christ, and sometimes inside the Church of Christ, you'll run into all kinds of things that people associate with spirituality. Sometimes they associate crystals with spirituality. I don't get much out of a rock, but okay, you know, they spirituality's there, or they some people will talk about an aura, you know, I don't understand that, or tarot cards, you know, palm reading. Some people think they can talk to the dead, you know, fortune telling. You know, one of the more interesting ones is deja vu. Any of you have experienced deja vu, you know? Yeah, I thought I did once, but it turned out I just forgot, so I was never very good at that, you know. We associate sometimes this with the supernatural, you know, something outside ourselves, that kind of a thing, a funny feeling, you know, maybe a funny feeling like you're being watched. Have you ever had a feeling like you're being watched? Yeah, I've had that too, especially when I was a kid. Turns out my mom really was watching. She had her eye on me all the time, wherever I went, you know. People associate this sometimes with ghosts and angels and demons and all of that kind of stuff. So there is, though, a sense in which even outside the Christian church, there's a part of what they talk about with spirituality that they really do get right. And that is this. There is more than the physical realm. There's more than what we can see and feel and touch. There are things out there that we can't explain and that science can't explain. And yet we know that we've had this experience, and it's hard to deny it. And so there is a sense in spirituality that there's something more. There's something more than what we can see and what we can touch and what we're supposed to be real. And there's things that, you know, and it, spirituality is just kind of this giant bucket that people throw all kinds of stuff in. And some of that we eventually explain. And now I'm just going to say this. Even in the Church of Jesus Christ, some things that we thought were spiritual issues turn out to not be. In the world of psychology is doing this, you know. It used to be the symptoms of things like schizophrenia people would associate with a spiritual issue. And now we know it's a brain issue. There's a brain disease. You know, it's not a spiritual issue. Take the medicine, okay? God wants you to take the medicine. Let me just be clear about that kind of stuff, you know. But we're learning and growing in all of that. And in fact, even the word supernatural kind of explains our difficulty there. Super means bigger than, and natural means the natural world. So supernatural, we're talking about things that are bigger than what we can see and feel and touch. There's nothing wrong with the natural world. There's nothing wrong with science. Science says this is real. I buy it. I just don't think that's adequate. I think there are realities that are beyond that. Some of you may have heard the word metaphysical. Have you heard the word metaphysical? That's a big philosophy kind of word. I took way too much philosophy in college. And meta means bigger than physical. Metaphysical is a word that's bigger than the physical realm. And so that's the whole spiritual realm that we kind of talk about. And most people believe in spirituality in some sort of way. They believe that there's something more than the physical. Even if you go talk to a complete atheist, if you get them in a quiet moment, they'll usually tell you, well, there is, you know, there's something. I'm spiritual. I get it. There's something more than that. In fact, these are people that we deal with a lot, and that would be people that are spiritual but not religious. Have you met that person? They'll say, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious, okay? And that's just kind of the world we live in and we speak into. And they'll talk about the fact there are different spiritual paths. And they, again, they never quite define spiritual, but that's the way they talk. In fact, we live in a world where I think a lot of this is kind of buffet spirituality. How many of you ever eaten at a buffet? Yeah. How many of you enjoyed the experience? You know, yeah, what's wrong with the rest of you? Do you not go to the right buffets, or what's the deal here? I mean, everybody loves a buffet. Why? Because you get what you want, you know? And if you're good at buffets, you know not to fill up with the stuff at the beginning, right? Because the really good stuff is at the other end. You're all looking at me like, no, I don't know about that. Then you're not a real buffet person. They're great, you know? They got the good stuff there. And the thing about a buffet is you both go to the same buffet, but the person next to you might get completely different stuff than you. It might not look anything like your meal because you can kind of pick and choose, you know. You can do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. One of the great things I discovered about a kid, one of the reasons as a kid I really loved it, is if mom wasn't watching, you could get through a whole meal with no vegetables. Pretty good, you know. Yeah, get more dessert too. There's a buffet person, yeah. And so there's a sense in which that is kind of the way in America we deal with spirituality a lot. A lot of people, you know, take a little bit of this, a little bit of that, you know. Hey, I'll take two crystals because those look kind of interesting. And maybe, you know, a palm reading into my spirituality. And a little bit of Jesus in that somewhere there. Sprinkling a little Buddha. And then a whole bunch of Hinduism. And that's what my spirituality is. That's what the spiritual world is. And if there's no God, that's probably true. But if there is a God, don't you think we ought to consult him about what spirituality is? Because if there is a God, and I believe with all of my heart, I've staked my career, my whole life on that reality. If there is a God, he decides what spirituality is. He's the giver of all of that. And so we're going to be talking about this in the weeks ahead. But let me give you kind of a general broad definition of spirituality. And there's some crossover between this kind of generic thing and what we're going to talk about. And it is in that crossover that we can reach out and love people. When you're trying to love people to Christ, always start with the common ground. Never start with the stuff you're going to argue about. That's just not smart. So here's kind of the definition. Spirituality is a sense of connection to something bigger than ourselves. Spirituality is a sense of connection to something bigger than ourselves. And you can go to all kinds of people that don't follow Jesus, and they'll go, that's it. That's what spirituality is. It's a sense of connectedness. And every human being longs for this. We are hardwired with this desire to connect with something bigger. We don't always know what it is. We're not sure how to do that. You know, can't define it. That's why they struggle with defining it, don't have language. But there's a deep sense that there is something more. And it's built into us. And it's a deep longing to touch the eternal. And they don't know how to do it. And they don't know what that looks like. But it's there. And I think about people who are far from God and did not have the blessing of being raised in the church. I mean, I was saved from a terrible life of sin at the age of 6, you know. And so I have always grown up. But people that don't have that, it's like there's an amnesia. It's like they've forgotten who they are and where they came from. Any of you ever walked into a room and forgot why you went in there? Yeah, that's a pretty common experience. The older I get, the more I do that. You have this sense that I'm here for a reason, but I don't know what the reason is, you know? And you don't want to walk out because it almost feels like you got to get that done. And then, you know, and so it's just, and we live in a world like that. I'm here for a reason. I just don't know what the reason is, and I have a longing for something more, and there's got to be more than just earning money and collecting toys. There's something. Spirituality sends a connection to something bigger than ourselves. I have to touch something bigger than us. And there's a deep sense that the DNA of the living God is beginning to resonate in them, and they know there's more. They can't explain it. They can't work it out. They don't know how to fix it. But because they are created in the image of God, because they are children of God in that sense of being created in His image, they long for it. They hunger for it. There's a sense in which we're all spiritual orphans. And we're looking for our family. We're looking for that place where I belong. This is my family. This is my people. And we resonate looking for spirituality. And I have good news for you. God is your people. Yeah, that's really good news. God is my people. I'm God's people. You're God's people. And so for Christians, we say it like this. Here's a Christian definition of spirituality. Spirituality is personal connection to the living God. Real, genuine connection. And it's what they all long for. It's the answer to all of that. Pascal, a famous philosopher a long time ago, said, we all have a God-shaped hole in our heart that longs for Him to fill it. That's pretty good, especially for a philosopher. That's pretty good. That there's something in us that we long for, and we long for God. He's the one that can fill that and can give our life meaning. But because we're followers of Jesus and we have the New Testament and all that's talked about that, it's even more than connection. The world longs for connection. We get the gift of intimacy with God. Say intimacy. Intimacy is such an important word. It means personal connectedness and relationship. It's why we evangelicals talk about a personal relationship with Jesus. Because personal relationship implies intimacy, implies knowing one another, implies being involved in one another's lives. And we see that even in the physical world, you know. There's a different level of intimacy between, you know, the first week of marriage and 33 years later with Jody and I. I think she can read my mind sometimes. It's a little disturbing. But we've been walking together for a long time. She knows me well. She can predict me. She knows my strengths. Oh boy, does she know my weaknesses. We long not just for connection, but we long for intimacy. And God desires intimacy with us. And so spirituality is personal connection to the living God. So this morning, if you take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 John chapter 4, we're going to look at 7 through 21, and there's a ton of stuff in there. I'm going to kind of have to go quickly through this. I'd love to preach about all of that, but you all want to watch the Seahawks game today, and so we'll get you out of here before that. So let's gather around God's Word this morning. 1 John says, let's see if this is going to work. There we go. Dear friends, let us love one another. Let us love one another, for love comes from God. God is the source of love. There's only one source of love, and it is the living God. Okay? And love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God. I'm not going to go very far with that, but that's one of those statements where the Bible is uncomfortably clear. And when I run into people who claim to know Jesus and there is no love in their life, it's all hate and anger and brokenness, I want to say, I don't know. Not my place to judge, but the word says, whoever does not love does not know God. Because, say these three words, God is love. Hold on to that. That's important. Verse 9, this is how God showed or made evident his love among us. So this is God, how God let us know he loved us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. That God stepped in and took the consequences of our sin. That God sacrificed himself. We said over and over again that the definition of love, of God's love, is self-sacrificing. You will give your life for the one you love. And we see that in the life of Christ himself. And then, verse 11, dear friends, since God so loved us, because he did this for us, we also ought to love one another. Say, love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete or perfect in us. And then verse 13, this is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his, say the word, from which we get the word spiritual. And so we know, skipping to verse 16, and rely on the love of God has for us. And let's say these words again. It's love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. I would love to go through all of those verses and spend a lot of time, but we do not have time. So let me break this down a little bit and then we'll talk about some application. The thing you need to know about this, that all of the rest of this is built on, is this truth. God is love. Not an attribute of God, not something he puts on in the morning as a shirt, not something God does. God is love. And if you experience love, you experience God, whether you know it or not. All love is a gift from God. It is God invading your world. It's powerful. And we see it in our lives. Every way we live with one another, if we love someone, it is God loving through us. Love is something when we open our heart to let God into our heart so that we can love someone else. When you fell in love with your spouse, that was God in you loving that person and you getting the love from them. Your children, you love your children because God is in you and allows you to love them. In fact, children are one of the greatest ways to see love in those. Many of you know my daughter, when she was born, our firstborn child was in grave, grave danger at birth. We weren't sure she was going to make it. And despite my theological training, I began to pray a prayer I knew was wrong, but it was the deep longing of my heart. And I said, Lord, her life for mine. Take my life, let her live. And that makes no sense out of the context of love, because at that point, all she was a slobbery, smelly mess. And I was willing to die for her. Not because I'm some great father, but because my heavenly father put love for me, for my child. Do you get it? God is love. And when you experience him, you experience God's love. And so you want to experience God? Open your heart to love. You want to be more spiritual? Let more love in your life. The more you allow love in your life, the more you allow God in your life, and the more spiritual you become. And here's the really cool thing. Love is supernatural. In fact, love is why the natural exists. Because God is spirit. Before anything came into creation, God wanted to create you to love you and to be loved by you. And so he created the natural, the physical world, so that you could exist. Thank you, Lord. We appreciate that. Besides that, he made it awful beautiful. Have you noticed, you know? That even the natural is a product of the love of God. And love is what holds us together in those deep, dark hours. It's what binds us together in life when we suffer and when we struggle. Can I just say the younger generation? The 8 o'clock is mostly an older generation. One of the things I told them was, I said, would you please share with the younger generation the stories of the hard places in your life where God was faithful and kept you loving each other? Because we got all kinds of people that have walked with God for a long time in this church, and they have been through hell's fire, and God drew them closer together, and God is faithful. I invite you, talk to the older generation about those times in their life. You need to hear that, because God's love is the only thing that holds you together when everything else is falling apart. It's so powerful. And it motivates us to do our best. It brings out all of the best in us. It helps create those unselfish moments. All that is good in the world comes from love. I'll say that again. All that is good in the world comes from love. It's the source that drives it forward in all of this. Not only is love supernatural, but love is communal. Verse 7 said, love one another. Love the people around you. Love the people. And we talked for 4 weeks about being neighbors, the people that God puts in front of you. Love one another. Love is what connects us to God. Okay, we get the love God part, but love is also what connects us to one another. And spirituality isn't just this, it includes this. There is this connection thing that the more we love, the more we get connected to each other, the more powerful that is. In fact, there's no such thing as loving God without loving people. We kind of see that. Unfortunately, a part of my job is sometimes I have to hear stories where marriages have gone terribly wrong and it's abusive. And someone says, I love them, but I can't stop some sort of, and I want to say, that is not love. That is not love. You know, love, it takes action. Love does the right thing. And God loves you and he dwells in you. And then when that happens, we're driven to love other people. The more you let God into love, the more you will love those around you. In fact, Jesus said the greatest commandment, bottom line of the whole thing, love God with your whole being, love the people in front of you like family, and you got to build all of your religion on those two truths. Love is communal. And then the Spirit of the living God promises to live in those who open themselves to love. That is a really cool promise. It's kind of where we get the language about, you know, letting Christ into your heart, although it doesn't actually say that in the scripture, but that's where we get this idea, is that Christ sets up a dwelling place. In the Greek, it's really strong, the idea of a place where you live. And it's hard for us because there's this basic reality of life. When you live with someone, you get to know them better. When you live with, are none of you married? When you live with someone, you get to know someone better. Yes, and good and bad, right? You know, there's just something about that. And I remember when the last 3 months before Jody and I got married, she was in Washington, I was in Idaho. She was working a day thing and going to classes. I was running a freight crew at night, and you know, you couldn't just call each other on cell phones because, you know, I just missed her so bad. And my longing just for us to live together, we got married, it was like, we're in one spot. And then we got to know each other. And I am so thankful that she stuck with me through all of that. 33 years later. I know you want to nominate her for sainthood. People do that all the time. But there's something about living together that you get to know. And when you improve one another and you get better. And that's exactly what God wants, to take up a dwelling. He wants to live in your heart. Because there's an intimacy that happens when you live together. Amen. And that's what he's talking about. It forces you to work through this stuff, this deep intimacy. And then spirituality is communion with God. Communion's an old word, and we kind of talk about communion here, but it refers to this deep connection, this deep intimacy that happens over a long period of time. Communion is something that happens between people that are close and that love each other and are a part of it. And it refers to the idea of journeying together for life. Jody and I have been married for 33 years, right, dear? I got that right. Okay, good. Been together for about 36 years. We started dating in college and all of that. And it's interesting from this perspective in life. You kind of gain perspective as you go along. And one of the just realities of my job is I go to more weddings than most people. You know, I'm either in them or I'm invited to them or in some sort of things. And often I get to do the premarital counseling. It's one of the funnest things with young couples, is to kind of do that. We have a good time together. But it's so much fun to watch Young Love, you know. Y'all remember Young Love? You don't remember Young Love? Could have helped you out with your marriage if you'd said amen right there. You know, Young Love, and they come in, and they're so in love. They hold hands everywhere they go, and there's kissing in public and pet names for each other, and they send cards to each other, and they text all of that, you know. And they look around at people like us and go, we'll never be like them. We're going to be like this all the rest of our lives. And at this stage of life, Jody and I look at them and go, oh, isn't that cute? You know? And I love them. But there's so much more than the surface. 33 years later, I love her way more than I could even imagine back then. I had no idea about the potential of love. And God has called us to love like that. He wants the communion. Spirituality is communion with God. And we don't hold hands nearly as much as we used to, and we don't really kiss in public. But I'm telling you, I love her way more today than I did 33 years ago. Communion with God. Know God, intimacy. In fact, let me say it like this. The essence of true spirituality is continually opening ourselves to God's loving transformation in our lives. Continuing allowing Him to work in our lives, to become like Him. I don't know if you've noticed this, but your spouse sometimes wants you to change. They call it growth, but it's change. And it's for the best, usually. Amen? The gift is growing together to become one in this. And God has that for you. Transformation is what we're looking at in spiritual growth and spiritual life. So let me give you some things I know about all of this. Number one, inside every human being is a deep longing for connection with God. And we see this most often when we see people with a desire to love and be loved. If someone does not desire to love and be loved, there's something deeply broken in them. Every person has a desire to love and be loved. Say, love and be loved. And if God is love, they have a desire for God. You want a starting place with people who are far from God? Don't start with, get right with God. Start with, God loves you. And you can have a wonderful journey loving God. People long to love and be loved. Number two, all life flows out of spirituality. First and foremost, we were created for communion with God. One day all of this will go away, but God will remain and love will remain. Everything there is comes from our spirituality. So if you don't get the spirituality right, it's hard to get all the rest of it right. It's the foundation upon which we build love. Next slide. The deeper your spiritual life, the more satisfying your earthly life. I believe this with all of my heart. Our purpose is spiritual in this world. It may find expression in all kinds of other ways. I'm thankful for people that go into medicine and learn how to do surgeries and take care of us. I'm thankful that I don't go to a doctor that just prays over me and walks away, but actually does the surgery. Amen? But that's a spiritual thing. Your purpose is spiritual. It finds expression. And in addition to all of that, I know that living God's way in the world, because it's God's world, brings the ultimate satisfaction. God doesn't tell you to take Sabbath, to take a rest, because He wants to make your life miserable. He tells you to take a rest because He wants to make your life better. God doesn't tell you don't sleep with someone, not your spouse, because He wants to make your life miserable. He tells you don't sleep with someone, not your spouse, because He wants to make your life better. God tells you, don't steal, not because He wants to make your life miserable, but because He wants to make your life better. You understand that God's way, this spiritual peace, is the part that brings true satisfaction in life over the long haul. We live in a world that's so taken with the happiness of the moment and completely forgets the satisfaction of a lifetime. And I got to be careful how I talk about this, but I have walked with the Lord since I was a small child. And I want to tell you, there is profound satisfaction in my life. I have not met all the goals I wanted in life. I haven't accomplished everything that I wanted in life. But I am telling you, I live in communion with the living God. And there's nothing better than that. It's the most satisfying. And so, just in closing, if Pastor Bill would come, God invites us to live a deeply spiritual life. Deeply spiritual life. And in the next several weeks, we're going to be kind of talking about how to get at that. Next week, we're going to talk about letting God have full control in our lives. Next to becoming a follower of Jesus, the moment I really let go and let God have full control is maybe the most profound spiritual encounter with God I ever had in my life. It changed everything. And so don't miss next Sunday. Invite your friends. Bring somebody with you as we talk about that. And I want to invite you on this journey of diving deep, getting past the spiritual surface.